Hey folks, welcome to Deep Cough in a Deep. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I want to talk to you about today something that I thought was very important. I want to be able to do a teaching on this soon because I believe God speaks to us through nature, through the universe, through the cosmos, through birds, and through different things and throughout our lives. I think every day can prophesy something to you. Every day, every situation can say something to you that you need to maybe re-examine or look at, maybe for the first time, or maybe for the second or third time. Maybe you haven't got the fullness of what it's trying to say to you. And so I want to take just a couple minutes to talk to you about something that I think is very important. And the truth is, many of you, in what I'm about to say, you might get it, and many of you are probably where I'm at in my life, and that is, man, I totally get that completely. And many of you, it might take a while for you to chew and to swallow, and that is, you know, the idea of understanding about what is the universe trying to tell us? What is creation trying to tell us? And if you really think about the universe, you think about the idea of, you know, we know that the universe expands, I mean, just by a millisecond. It just expands so much, you know, through every second of our day. And so there's a constant growth happening. There's a constant expansion beginning to take place, correct? Now, through that, if we look even at the animal kingdom, you know, we can look at things such as birds. You know, it's interesting because it's called a communal mind, which means that, you know, when you look up in the air, let's say, for example, you know, here you are in a park, you're swinging, you know, you're walking down the street, and you see these big, you know, let's say this, maybe 20 or 30 birds flying in sync with one another. And if you're like me, let's face it, folks. I mean, all of my life, I've been in that place where I've always been fascinated, like, how on earth do they turn and shift that quick? I mean, how on earth do, you know, these birds, 20 or 30 of them, and all of a sudden, you know, they just, within literally a split second, simultaneously, at the exact same time, they shift to the left. Then they shift to the right. They swoop down and they swoop back up. You know, it's that place where you're wondering, how? Now, if you are religious, you'll never get what I'm about to say. I always tell people, if you're religious, you might as well hang up this ministry because you will never get the things in which God is trying to reveal to us today, which actually is not something that we can really truly understand. You know, even faith tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things we can't see. And so sometimes you just have to have that peace that surpasses your natural understanding. Sometimes you just have to move in that vein where I don't have to understand it or get it. I just have to believe and know it's real. And let's just face it, folks, before I tell you what I'm about to tell you, you know, we can look and say to the natural mind, it doesn't make sense for a man to die on a cross when he could just go and whip out a sword or a gun and just blow everybody up. You know, why would you allow people to kill you on the cross? You know, even though he says, you know, no one took my life, I lay it down willingly. You know, we can't really truly understand, can we? We don't understand how a man can supposedly go into maybe the depths of the earth or maybe go into a spirit realm of Abraham's bosom and lead captivity captive and rescue them and preach the gospel to them. That makes no human sense at all. I mean, that blows my mind. So nothing really of let there be light and all of a sudden the universe just begins to just boom, bam, all of a sudden. You know, none of it makes sense. All your waters depart when you reach out like Moses with a rod and all of a sudden these waters begin to just pull back, you know. So none of it all, you know, really to the human mind makes sense. But now they're just very normal to us, right? It's like, well, sure, God did that. You know, we move into it. But it's all by faith. Let's just face it, folks. It's truly all by faith. And so when we look at today, we think, you know, signs and wonders and miracles are those things of, you know, the blind seeing, you know, the deaf can hear once they're prayed for, you know, someone's leg grows out or whatever. And many of you might believe in miracles and many of you might not. Maybe you believe that the greatest miracle is actually, you know, being the authentic you. Many of you might feel that those are truly the high miracles that God wants to do to cause people to, you know, to start seeing when we lay hands on them. And, you know, and the truth is, I think all of that is true. I think when we're dealing with life, we can say, to me, you know, one of the greatest miracles, like the Old Testament says, that, you know, some people are a sign and wonder. You know, I think it was Moses that was a sign and wonder unto Pharaoh. You know, I want to become a sign and a wonder. You know, I want to be the person that I look at and say to myself that, you know, I've come into the place of my true identity. I see the full potentiality of myself. I love without borders. You know, I have grace upon people that need grace. And people who even don't need grace, I like to give them grace. You know, I want to become a sign and a wonder. Where other people might look at and say, you know, well, signs and wonders should be performed. Well, you can't give something you truly are not, you know? I mean, I see a lot of people with crappy attitudes and personalities and egotistical mindsets that can do signs and wonders. So God can use anyone, no matter if their character's, you know, shoddy or not, you know? And so if you think about it, that's how just the God we serve. Now, I said all that to let us know, or for you to understand, that when we say miracles and we say, you know, believing God by faith, we tend to feel that's the norm for Christians everywhere, correct? But when we look at nature and the universe and we say, can the universe really be alive? You know, we think, oh no, that's just new age, that's superstition, that's just science trying to, you know, come up with something. But the truth of the matter is, folks, the universe is alive. It's energetic. Energy is alive. You know, if you look at emotion, you know, when you see the fact that you're emotional, emotion means actually energy in motion. That's what it means, is energy in motion, energy motion. And so even your thoughts are energy. Even, you know, your emotions are energy. And so if we notice that everything in the universe is vibrational and energetic and full of energy, then we understand that, you know, we can say, for example, you know, atoms bond with other atoms. Particles bond with other particles. I mean, yo, folks, if we look at it, I'm getting back to the birds in a minute. If we look at the universe, we understand that the universe is becoming more in unity as it grows. I mean, do you understand that concept? That the universe, as it expands, it is becoming more in unity, more than we've ever seen in history. And it's going to continue to grow more in unity. So, with that said, we can look at the birds, for example, because, you know, God uses examples through nature as well. And we think to ourselves, how are those birds doing that? And you know, folks, as well as I know, you know for a fact, there's not a one bird who is chirping loud, because you never hear them chirp when they're doing that. You never hear one bird, you know, chirp and say, instantly, go left. Because there's no humanly possible that a bird can say, go left, go right, and within a split second, all of them in the exact same unison, exact by the down to the detailed accuracy of shifting to the left, shifting to the right, swooping down, swooping high. You know, there's no way, you know, in your heart of hearts, that's not possible. There's not a leader bird, you know, that's yelling, you know, to the left, you know, to the right, you know, up and down. Because even if there was a possibility where a bird could even chirp loud, or whatever a bird does to make a noise, that they all, by the time the sound got to their ears to turn, they would still not be in unison. There's no way they could flow in that, within a split moment, that amazing. Because there's no memorization here. They don't say, okay, now today, okay, when you get to this quadrant, you know, or this location, we're going to do it, you know, exact split moment. There's no humanly possible. Because why? Because they can't do that. They don't do that. And creation has what we call a communal mind, which means simultaneously, mentally, can I honestly say that they instantly can read each other's mind? Can I honestly say that maybe the energy that we're all made of, maybe in the universe, that maybe they're just getting into a place where they just flow so miraculously by something maybe of the psyche? I don't mean psychic, I'm talking psyche, which psyche just means, you know, the mind and just sort of, you know, tapping into that, you know, whatever it is you want to call it. You can call it paranormal, you can call it spirit realm, you can call it whatever you want to, but the truth of the matter is, folks, it's tapping into something that humans are not. Whether we like to hear that or not, it's true. And the animal kingdom tends to do that. I mean, they tend to know exactly what to do, whether it's survival or thriving, whatever it is, they know that they can do stuff in unison. And it's not just the birds, folks, it's the fish. I mean, we deal with a school of fish. I mean, I have a huge, gigantic koi pond. I have koi, I have over 30-something koi. Many of my koi are actually really huge koi, you know, really gigantic koi. And yet, I watch them. And at the exact millisecond, split moment, they can all shift in one direction. Is that a miracle? Yes. Now, why do we not pay attention to that? How can we do not incorporate that within our everyday life? Because we wouldn't know how, would we? Now, Here's one thing we have to understand. The communal mind in the animal kingdom does what it does in the universe, and that is, it's just this supernatural thing that they all just know what to do at the same moment. Once again, whether they read each other's mind, whether it is something that is spiritual, universal, whatever, we know it happens, and there's no denying it. There's no trying to bury it under the sand and say, "Oh, that sounds New Age." If that's New Age, folks, no offense, I love you dearly, but really you need to understand Christianity. You need to grow up into maturity and understand that it's more than something that you can just write off. And words and things in the universe that God's created are not New Agey. New Age is a religion. It's a religion. Not everything is New Age. And I have to say that because God loves people. Some people just don't get that, you know, because they're so wrapped in religious dogma and doctrines, and they can't seem to wrap their brain around the fact that these are things that our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, created and put into motion and created things to flow the way they flow. So when we look at the fish, we look at the birds, and we know there's a communal mind they have that flows instantly, mentally, they all just get it. And so saying all that, we could relate that to the book of Acts, where they were all in one accord and the Spirit of God poured out. And I think that was powerful. But I still don't think it is exactly what these birds and fish do. So, when we look at the universe and we understand that everything is growing in pattern, everything is growing at a universal rate of unity, and yet it is growing to a place of where it's flowing energetically more, if we can say it that way, in a unison type of way, and we're seeing these things in the animal kingdom, then folks, let me ask you an honest question. Why is it that when we look at humanity, and we see today, you know, we can look at the idea of understanding that slavery years and years and years ago, folks, it was the norm. I mean, back in the day when slavery was here, it was the norm. I mean, it was just normal for us to have two different fountains. It was normal for us to have different things of color people and white people. It was the norm. But now we look today and we recognize how horrible, demonic, and disgusting that way of thinking is, correct? Why? Because universally, we had a paradigm shift. Cosmically, we had a paradigm shift where something in creation began to take such a mighty shift into a place of freedom where we understood what? Wait a minute. Black people are equal to us. There's no such thing as slavery. We need to break this power. And guess what? Now, how come it is today that we are so anti-slavery? How come it is today that we are so against it? And now we look at something that was the norm. It was normal, folks. Why do we look at it now as being so disgusting? Because there was a paradigm shift that is trying universally, trying to move us, persuade us, getting into the same unity of equality that God has initiated within the universe as well. And folks, there is no denying that. You know as well as I know, there is absolutely, positively no denying these are facts in our lives and in the universe. Scientists prove it. Scripture has proved it. I mean, the main thing that, where was the entrance, the heavenlies, the open doors? Where was all this stuff happening? You know, where did the Holy Spirit pour out? When did we hear speaking in tongues? We heard all of this on the day of Pentecost when they were all in one accord. They were in unity, which means something had to energetically, supernaturally happen within the mind of those gathered together, where they obviously something supernatural incorporated within their spirits and something took over their minds to be able to move in that type of fashion and flow. Because God has always desired unity. He's always desired, and the universe itself is expanding at an amazing rate per second, and yet it is growing more into unity. That's a known fact. So when we look at this and we say, well, we're against slavery now. What if God is speaking into our lives right now? Why is it today? Now, once again, this is not about a government, a president. It's about life. Why is it today that if you're like me, which I hope and pray that you do have the same mindset I do in this situation, why are we furious when we think about foreigners coming into our nation? Why are we furious when we think about, you know, and we, once again, I mean, we can see that all through the New Testament, Jesus mentioned it not once, not twice, but many times, from parables to the jail cells. I mean, he made it very plain. plane, do not do this to foreigners. Do not. Strangers are to be welcomed. Strangers are to be accepted. Strangers are to be loved. And I can go on and on and on with neighbors, and we're not going to get on that subject. But when we look at the situation, how come today many of us, and I hope and pray all Christians, because if you're not on this page as a Christian, that would be really embarrassing to be a Christian, is it not? You know, to really not want strangers and foreigners, because that's the commandment of our Lord that we serve. And so through the commandment of our love for Jesus, we welcome foreigners and strangers. And we have to, first of all, look at our lives. Are we more Christian than American? Because if you're more American than Christian, you're going to think a different level, a different way. That's just how it is. If you're more Christian than American, you're going to know to put God's word first of what it says to do when it deals with these situations. When it deals with equality, when it deals with people being equal, when it deals with these type of things, guess what's happening? There's a major paradigm shift in the earth. And those who are furious about things can see and recognize this is not normal. This is not normal. So when you look at the pattern of humanity, and we've seen it all through time, let me give you another great example, because I know many of you are sort of, oh my goodness, here he goes. But you need to understand this concept. You need to know how history works, folks. When you study history, you'll realize in the Bible, there were days in the Old Testament that were very barbaric. People back in the day, thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, were very barbaric people. Okay? Now, do we see that today with ISIS? Yes. That's why we recognize ISIS as sick, as morbid, as demonic, because we could not imagine, in our Western mindset, we could not even come close to imagining, you know, a place where someone's head can be chopped off or amputated or cut up. I mean, that's something we think of that only happens in severe horror movies. We would never think it would happen in today's society. But yet, folks, what you're seeing and what you're believing is true and real about ISIS. Folks, I have to tell you something. That was the norm. That was the norm back hundreds and even thousands of years ago. People were barbaric. That's how they killed people. If you did this, you got killed. You got cut up. You got amputated. Your head got amputated. That was the norm. That's why our culture, the paradigm shift has taken place mentally of the consciousness of man to shift into this arena to understand the universe is crying out for unity. God has established the creation and the universe and mankind to get back into unity, and that is to respect, to love, and to understand the equality, the equalism between human beings. And that's what God has desired. Through all of that, we can look and say that people back in the day were barbaric. The paradigm shift came, showed us how we can improve ourselves through the nature of Christ to not be barbaric. We see that, we recognize that, we know it to be real. We notice that we know it to be real now, where Jesus did not want slavery. Do we not? We recognize these things easily now. Back in the day, we were blind to that reality. Now what we're seeing is people who are irate and mad because they're not seeing equality between strangers and foreigners. They're not seeing equality between understanding that women, we're not talking about it, and let me just also phrase this, we're not talking about some, you know, huge feminist movement where women are going to be mean. No, we're talking about the equality of women to be able to be pastors, to be preachers, to be able to speak and be able to have jobs like men, to make equal pay like men. That's what I'm talking about. Because it's true. Women bust their butts. And can I get an amen from hundreds of you? Women do a lot harder job. Men, let me tell you something. If you're a man, you're listening to this, let me just put it to you honestly. You work an 8-to-5 job, and just like the rest of us, and it is a hard, tough job. But women with children, they do not have an 8-to-5 job. When their 5 o'clock comes or 6 o'clock comes, they're still making dinner for children. They're having to put kids to bed at nighttime. They're still changing diapers. So women, I applaud you, because you're more of a man than most men I know. Amen. And I applaud you, and I think that women, you deserve to be treated equal in that manner. Okay? Now, through all of that, I'm going to say this. That means that we have to have a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift, many people have already taken a paradigm shift to understand something is not right when we're seeing people being treated lesser than. Now, through that, folks, listen to what God says. has put into has implied within his creation, within the universe, within the animal kingdom, to understand we must get back to unity. We must get back to treating God's likeness and image and likeness people in the same manner of love. Now, through all of that, folks, we're either going to go with the flow of what God is initiating and get into unity and allowing these principalities and powers of darkness to come down that are speaking to us and that is trying to force us into the situation of life where people are not equal, that we should be we should treat other people of different backgrounds and ethnic groups with no equality, even those of other religions of no equal to us as humans. Folks, it's time that you understand, as Christians we have power, we have authority, we have anointing, but as human beings we're all one. As human beings you are no different than anyone else, and they're no different than you, which means, folks, we've got to listen to what is being said. And a major paradigm shift in the earth right now is beckoning. It's crying out. It's moaning and groaning for the sons of God to shift, manifest, and be, and destroy these nasty demonic paradigms that we've had that have been plaguing us now for years and years and years. And through all of that, folks, we've got to get back to that place where we are honoring human beings, where we can move in a place to one day maybe see the supernatural. We can learn to flow together in churches. Because, folks, if we can't, as the human race cannot show equality to people, then I have news for you. We will never see it happen in church. And yet, in the house of God is where it should happen first. But we are too prideful, and we are trying to destroy the very thing that God is trying to initiate in the earth. We are coming with an antichrist mentality in the church, trying to destroy and put down other people who are not like us. Folks, that is demonic, it is pride, and it is not God. We've got to be able to stand, and when we've done all, continue to stand, to be people of God who break these nasty demonic paradigms over other people. And folks, let me tell you something. When people rise up, if you have a cause to rise up, I mean, if you have a cause that you feel is causing other people to be treated lesser than, take a stand. It is time within the earth we take a stand against people being treated lesser than us. As the human race, we are all one. As Christians, our mission is to feed the poor, take care of, clothe those that are homeless, visit those in jails. And that does not mean in your own nation necessarily. It does not mean in your own neighborhood. It doesn't mean it has to be your friends, your family. It means everyone. When Jesus died, he died for everyone, equal. When he told us to feed the poor, to do this, to clothe these, visit in jail, he meant it. And what he said was, if you've done it the least of these, you have done it unto me. If you want the greatest weapon to protect a nation, if you want the greatest weapon to protect our nation, then you're going to have to do it the way Jesus initiated it. Peace and love and mercy, it causes men to repent. The Bible says loving kindness calls men to come to repentance in the kingdom of God. And when we honor Jesus by doing it the way Jesus wants it, we're going to see a mighty influx of God's power, God's anointing, and God's signs and wonders come to the earth. And until that day, we're going to have nothing but chaos until we get over into the place of fighting for people, fighting for human rights of people who deserve to be treated like a human. Because guess what? They are no different than you, no different than I. Amen. And I said all that to let you know, this is not a, you know, we are one in the sense of, you know, kumbaya for all humanity. But yet, on the other hand, though, it is. And that is the fact that as Christians, we are called to implement unity. We are called to implement justice. We are called to implement equality for people. People are people. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to like what they do. But in essence of people being people, they are people. And we are all, every last one of us, are made in God's image and God's likeness. And it is time for the sons of God to arise, take a stand, and fight the good fight of faith. On behalf of the Samaritans, the Gentiles, the Jews, none of them liked each other. They all thought that the other party was lesser than, and they were not worth anything. And guess what Jesus did? He showed them they're all equal. So folks, if you want to obey Jesus, do what Jesus did. Go and be part of the Samaritans. Go and be part of the Gentiles. Go and be part of those that the Bible talks about that hated one another, but yet Jesus came to die to bring them together and show them how much He loves each and every one of them. And that, my friend, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you again for tuning into the broadcast. There is no telling what we talk about on this broadcast, is there not? And I so thank God that every one of you are listening to the broadcast, supporting us. Please, if you need any product or a prophetic word or anything, don't be afraid to go to our website or give us a call, identitynetwork.net, or you can call us at 205-362-7133. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.